In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an inside joke that no experienced rector wants to preach on Trinity Sunday. Instead, they foist it off on the curate or the seminarian or the retired associate, because after all, who wants to tackle the intricate and complex theology and mystery of the Holy Trinity? There's so many opportunities to fall into heretical statements about exactly how this works. The idea of the Trinity, it's an interesting idea for a Sunday, because usually on a Sunday we're celebrating one of the events of Jesus' life or perhaps a saint, but on this occasion we're celebrating a theological idea. And it was an idea that developed during the first few centuries of the early church. The only real mention of the Trinity is from our gospel today, Matthew, at the Ascension, where we get the listing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the only time it occurs in the New Testament. Greek theologians in the 3rd and 4th centuries articulated this idea of the Trinity, and they were really trying to figure out, and there was a lot of controversy about exactly how God the Creator was connected to and in relationship with Jesus the Christ. Was the Son subordinate to the Father? Were they equal? And then how both of them were connected to and related to the Holy Spirit. Well, three theologians really gave us our theology of the Trinity: Basil of Caesarea, Gregory of Nyssa, and Gregory of Nazianzus. And their work largely informed the work of the Council of Nicaea that gave us the Nicene Creed, which we say on many Sundays. This theology, you know, I've taught a lot of history classes and theology classes over the years for the diocese and in different congregations, and what I've discovered is that for most modern Christians, the detailed arguments of Greek theology of the 3rd and 4th centuries largely seems irrelevant to them. Most modern Christians are what I would consider more pragmatic, more interested in questions of how do we live our faith in the world, rather than on getting the exact details of our theology correct. Now, it's not true for everybody. There's always some who are really interested in theology and in those exact definitions. But by and large, most modern Christians find this whole issue kind of irrelevant. Don't we all basically believe the same things, they'll say? And how do we live that in the world? What's the pragmatic payoff for our belief? But I would like to suggest that I believe there is a deep connection between what we believe and how we act. A great book some decades ago by Lionel Mitchell, Praying Shapes Believing, made the argument that our belief, what we distill as our theology, is largely shaped by our experience of God through prayer and worship and liturgy. The praying shapes the believing. And I find that a very persuasive argument. I think that is how it works. We have this encounter with God. You see it all the way through the scriptures, this amazing, intense encounter with the living God. Think of Moses and the burning bush, or think of Jesus at the baptism. And then later on, we try to unpack what was going on. The scripture writers and the scripture readers throughout the centuries have been trying to figure out what those amazing encounters really mean and how they have an impact on the way we live our lives. Because praying shapes believing, I think also believing shapes living. What we believe shapes what we do. And so it's really important, I think, for us to pause for a moment on this Trinity Sunday and go back to the essence of what we believe about God. The Trinity gives us this incredible image of God as a loving, mutual community of equals. In the classic definition of the Trinity from those three great Cappadocian saints, we have this amazing articulation that in the heart of God is this loving community. We say it, God is love. And God expresses that love in the very heart of the Trinity itself. We are created in the image of God. That's another core belief that we have as Christians and as Jews. We're created in the image of this Trinity. As Christians, we say, we're created in the image of this relationship of love. We're created in love for love, in community and for community, in mutual equal love for mutual equal love. That's an amazing thing to say. And of course, when we look around at the world today, we know that we are very far from that ideal. We see the terrible divisions all around us. You know, after months of dealing with COVID-19 and the stresses that that has put on our medical establishment, on our economy, and on every single person struggling to make sense of all of this, dealing with quarantine or having to work despite the risks and coping with all kinds of different risks, with the loss of family members, with the loss of friends, we are reeling from that. And now we are coping again with what some have called America's original sin, the sin of racism, which has resulted in protests around the country in all 50 states that were touched off by the death of George Floyd. We see these protests, we see the effects of racial injustice throughout the years, and we wonder, how is it that amidst all of this crisis and conflict and division, how can we represent and be and live into this identity of loving community that we have in the Trinity? I believe that is the great challenge of our time. It's probably the great challenge of all times, because conflict is not new. Separation between people is not new. Divisions over race and class are not new. But they invite us, I think, today to think deeply about what it is that we want for ourselves, for our church, for our nation, for our world. Are we satisfied with a world in which lingering racism divides and separates us and pits one against another? Are we satisfied with that? Are we satisfied with a system where the separation of wealth and poverty grows ever wider? Are we satisfied with that? I'm not. And I invite you to think and pray and work with me on what we might do as the members of St. Philip's to respond out of our identity as people made in the image of God, the image of love, the image of community. How might we respond to these incredibly challenging events in our nation and in our world right now? Parishioners have asked me, what can we do? The bishop and the diocese are working on opportunities for us to respond and to do things. And I think we as a congregation can do the same. I'm going to be talking with our spiritual formation team about some ideas for how we might come together to talk and to share stories and to wrestle with who we are as the people of God, how we deal with the lingering issues of race in our culture, and how we might be enabled and empowered to bear witness to the love of God in all things. I'm reminded, as we think about what we really believe, our core beliefs, the vestry and I have been working on maybe a sign out in front of the church. Now, it's very hard. We don't have a united political statement from our church. We're all over the map, from liberal to conservative and everything in between. But we do have core values as Episcopalians, and they're expressed in the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and in our baptismal covenant. And so one of them has been really speaking to me, one of those promises that we renew every time there's a baptism. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. We will, with God's help. We will, with God's help, be representers, that's not a word, but we'll be witnessers to the love of God that we know in the loving relationship at the heart of the Trinity. We will, with God's help, find ways to be a light to our community and to our world. We will, with God's help, pledge ourselves to do the difficult inner work to unearth the feelings, the challenges, the messages that are deeply implanted in us that prevent us from living more fully into our identity as people of loving community. I invite you to join with us. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I hope that you'll join us in that journey. I hope you'll join us in looking more deeply at ways that we can live into this calling and be more fully and more deeply the people of God, loved by God, and loving in the name of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen.